What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today, as Steve Kerr has some unpopular opinions when it comes to player movement and specifically how Anthony Davis went about getting his trade to the Los Angeles Lakers and how he handled it. I also want to look at why Kevin Durant might not have been the perfect fit for the Golden State Warriors. We also have a 21-year-old bust getting a second chance and some shoe deal news. And trust me, that news is a lot bigger than just a couple of guys getting new shoe deals. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What is happening? We got a pretty good one for you today, as Steve Kerr was recently interviewed on the Insider Podcast with Monty Poole. He touched on a lot of things, but the real headlines were what he said about the Anthony Davis situation and his trade and how he got out of New Orleans. Kerr said, and I quote, "I'm talking more about the Anthony Davis situation where a guy is perfectly healthy and has a couple of years left on his deal and says, I want to leave. That's a real problem and a problem that the league has to address and that the players have to be careful with. When you sign on that dotted line, you owe your effort and your play to that team, to that city, to the fans. And then once the contract runs out, it's completely your right to leave as a free agent. But if you sign the contract, then you should be bound to that contract. If you come to an agreement with the team that, hey, it's probably best for us to part ways, that's one thing. But the Davis stuff was really kind of groundbreaking and hopefully not a trend because it's bad for the league." So Steve Kerr made headlines with that. And, you know, obviously the juiciest headline is Steve Kerr says Anthony Davis trade is bad for the league. And the Anthony Davis trade, it's nuanced. Every one of these trades is nuanced. It was... the Anthony Davis trade was weird. He is under contract, as Steve Kerr mentioned. And I think what he's referring to personally is the fact that, you know, he wasn't really playing for them. And that part of that, though, is on the organization as well, where they know that they're going to end up trading Anthony Davis, and having him play and potentially winning 5 to 10 more games isn't going to do them any good in the future for their lottery chances. So, yeah, he was nicked up here or there, and it was a really weird, contentious situation in New Orleans. You know, Anthony Davis wears the That's All Folks shirt to his last game, which was really stupid. I mean, just, hey, fans that have supported me for my 8 years here, like, let me just jam this in your face. Like, that was dumb. And then he said he doesn't dress himself, which is either just a terrible excuse or, you know, a pathetic situation for a 25-year-old who should learn to dress himself. But either way, the situation is nuanced, and there's more to it than just a player saying he wants out with multiple years left on his contract. Paul George did the same thing. You know, it was just kept quiet. And that's another thing that's mentioned as well, is that, you know, Adam Silver has said that he would like these trade demands to be handled behind closed doors and not be negotiated in public, which is possible. We saw it with Paul George, and we saw OKC get a massive haul for Paul George. And I do understand where Steve Kerr's coming from in the sense that you have 2 years left on this deal. We'll trade you if there's a trade there, but if not, we still need you to play every single game and play hard and yada, 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 and do your job. But at the same time, like I said, I think New Orleans was complicit in this and that they didn't really want him to play, knowing that he was going to be gone, because they wanted the best draft, they wanted the best lottery chances to go get Zion Williamson. And that's what happened. Steve Kerr also said, "My only issue is when a player who is under contract decides not to honor that contract. That's a problem, and that's something that can really affect the league." So he apparently feels that Anthony Davis was not honoring his contract, which, again, I think it's both sides are to blame. the New Orleans Pelicans and Anthony Davis. I think it was both kind of this weird, petty, passive-aggressive back and forth between the two. But for the most part, I kind of disagree with Steve Kerr. Like, yeah, obviously, if a guy's refusing to play and not honoring his contract, that is a problem. But I don't think Anthony Davis wasn't honoring his contract. And Kerr also mentioned that players like LeBron and KD have done it right, where they play out their entire contract and then move on. That's their right, which is true. But I would also much rather have a player who knows he's going to leave, knows he doesn't want to be with the team, let me know that, hey, I'm not going to re-sign with you guys, because it allows me, allows the organization, allows Kerr, Bob Myers, whoever, to try and go out and recoup some assets from that player. I think that, personally, is a better look, better move for the player, better move for the team than a guy's contract expiring and just walking for nothing. You're not going to be able to flip Kevin Durant for D'Angelo Russell every single time. The Warriors got lucky. If KD chose the Knicks, the very best the Warriors could have done is get a huge trade exception in a sign and trade, where he decided on the Nets. The Nets, in turn, were going to let D'Angelo Russell walk. And then the Warriors said, well, let's do some business together. And the Warriors were able to get D'Angelo Russell for Kevin Durant. Now, I do think Kevin Durant is a different type of player. I think Kevin Durant, you hang on to until the very last second, trying to keep him around. Same thing with Kawhi in Toronto. But still, if Kevin Durant knew that he was going to leave at the end of the year, at the end of the 2019 season, and said it at the beginning of the 2019 season, the Warriors could have flipped him to the Nets for a buttload. But instead, you know, they were fortunate to get D'Angelo Russell. So I think where I disagree with Steve is I think it's a good move and a almost honorable move for a player to say, you know, I'm not going to re-sign with you in a year. So go out and get whatever you can for me. Here's a list of preferred destinations. And the team doesn't have to trade the player either. For one, they can say, sorry, you're under contract, you're playing with us, so deal with it. And they also don't have to, if they do trade them to the preferred destinations either. So I do disagree with Steve on this topic where it's bad for the league. I'm all about player empowerment, obviously, but I didn't think the Anthony Davis situation was as bad as he made it out to be. And again, I would much rather try and recoup some assets for a star player than let him leave for free. That's just me, to each their own. Obviously, Steve Kerr is entitled to his own opinion. I think the thing that caught the headlines and didn't look so good was saying it's bad for the league. And one other thing that I don't think will affect the Warriors much, especially because once you get a player in a room with Steve Kerr, he'll obviously be able to explain himself and prove that it's the headline is much worse than what he actually meant. But look, players love player empowerment, and for that to be out there, that he's against player movement and this and that, isn't great when it comes to potential free agents, etc. But again, it's just a headline, and if that really keeps a player from meeting with the Warriors or meeting with Steve Kerr, then that's pretty dumb. But at the same time, you do have to take into account, especially when you're a head coach, a GM, basically everything you say can be looked at through that lens. So again, I don't think it'll be a big problem or anything like that, but you just got to be careful. And they were able to pull a pretty dicey headline out of it. So just be careful. Going to take a quick break, come back. I want to talk about how Kevin Durant might not have been the perfect fit for the Warriors, even though they won two championships, probably would have won a third if he was healthy. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just got done discussing and disagreeing with Steve Kerr on his opinion that the Anthony Davis trade was bad for the league. But again, like I've said, it's nuanced. There's way more to it than just it being good or bad for the league. There's obviously some gray area. And there's some gray area in this next topic as well. I want to talk about Kevin Durant, his fit with the Warriors, and why it might not have been perfect. It was close to perfect, but not exactly perfect. And one of the things that made me think of this was Colin Cowherd had a topic on his radio show the other day where he was saying that LeBron James, if LeBron James was in Kevin Durant's spot with the Warriors, there's no way he would have ever left, which I found rather interesting and probably true. Here's what Colin Cowherd had to say. Here's a little snippet of his reasoning.
This is the difference between LeBron and KD, is that I do believe LeBron has had a huge influence on Kevin Durant's game, brand, and decisions. But here's the difference. Here's the real big difference. LeBron would not have left the Warriors. No way in hell. Because whereas LeBron left teams, Cleveland, Miami, and Cleveland, that appear to be getting older and worse, Kevin Durant left two really good basketball teams that are young and had years left to win championships. OKC, Westbrook and Harden were both just coming into their prime. No way LeBron leaves the Warriors. Now, LeBron's got too great a sense of himself and too great a sense of history in the league. You think a LeBron would bail on Steph and Klay and Draymond and Kerr? There's no way.
So that's the sound from Colin Cowherd on his radio show, The Herd, every day. And, some people might roll their eyes at it because there's no way we can know for sure whether LeBron would have left or how he would have ever made it on to the Warriors, etc. It's something we'll never truly know the answer to, but I agree with him because I think LeBron is all about the rings. He left Cleveland to go to a better spot where he could win some rings. Once Cleveland started deteriorating, started getting old, especially all those role players they had around him were getting old, he moved on to go back to Cleveland to team up with Kyrie and Kevin Love and try and win more rings. It was a better opportunity for him to win rings. And if the roles were reversed where LeBron was with the Warriors, there's no way he ever would have left. He would have won as many rings as possible and then tried to leave once he thought he couldn't win anymore. And maybe that's a Jordan thing where he's trying to get more than the six, yada, 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 whatever it is. He values championships more than Kevin Durant might. And the reason I bring all this up is because it's what got me thinking as to why KD left, why it didn't fit perfectly. And it's not just the ring conversation or anything like that. Part of it is he won his championships and they didn't fulfill him in the way he thought that it would. And then there's also other nuanced things about, fans embracing him, whose team it was, blah, 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 which I don't think Steph really cared about personally. I think KD might have. But who knows? Maybe it was contentious behind the scenes, even though all reporting says otherwise. But one of the things that I was thinking of is when they recruited KD to come to the Warriors, we all thought it was the perfect fit. And look, they won two championships, and they would have won three out of three if Kevin Durant was healthy and Klay Thompson was healthy. So to say it wasn't a perfect fit, it was like a 95% perfect fit. But some of the things that we thought as to why KD would fit perfectly with the Warriors is because he's unselfish. That he wouldn't have a problem giving up the ball to a player like Steph or Klay or Draymond. And for the most part, that was true. But one thing we didn't take into account was his lack of off-ball movement. Yeah, he would give up the ball, and then he would just stand there. He never fully bought into the Steve Kerr system way of playing. And you can make the argument that him and Steve, I wouldn't say didn't get along, but had some philosophical differences when it came to on the court play. Steve was very always trust the system. The system will work. And KD sometimes wanted to be like, screw the system, man. I'm Kevin Durant. I'm getting buckets. But one of the things that we never really took into account with Kevin Durant on the court was just the fact that he doesn't do much off ball. Yeah, he's willing to let Steph get his, but He wasn't gonna be coming off screens or, you know, doing the mile long run in one possession that Clay does to get an open shot, you know. And I don't know if you can blame him, considering he's a 7-footer who can shoot over everyone. You know, why should I run half a mile in one possession to get an open shot when I kind of have an open shot over anyone because I'm 7 feet tall and I can just shoot over anyone? So, kind of a roundabout way to get to this point as to why it partially didn't work with the Warriors, at least on the court. That was one of the flaws I saw on the court. I know we kind of, you know, took a couple laps here talking about LeBron and potentially being on the Warriors and why he would never leave, and getting to why, you know, it partially didn't work on the court with Kevin Durant. But that initial statement from Colin Cowherd is what got me looking a little deeper into why it didn't work. And maybe it's just as simple as Kevin Durant wants to play with his friend Kyrie in Brooklyn. I am incredibly intrigued by that pairing. Both eclectic young gentlemen who you could say are a little moody and a little different. So we'll see how it works. There is great potential for friction in Brooklyn. We're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to talk about a 21-year-old bust who is getting a second chance. No more players-only broadcast, thank God, and some shoe deal news that is actually a lot more interesting than just a couple players signing shoe deals. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just finished talking about Kevin Durant and his fit with the Warriors and just kind of why there was some on-court stuff that wasn't perfect either, but I think I'll allow us to talk about it until, you know, training camp. I think once we got D'Angelo Russell on the court, it'll be time to move on. But, you know, it's still an interesting topic as to why a player would ever want to leave. And maybe I'm looking at it through Golden State Warriors colored glasses. But why would you want to leave a situation where you're the perennial finals favorite every single year? I don't understand it, but, you know, I don't know if we ever will, honestly. But one thing I wanted to talk about, little tidbits here from around the NBA. First one is Dragan Bender, the 21-year-old bust, you could call him, from the Phoenix Suns, signed a 2-year deal with the Milwaukee Bucks today. He's someone I'm interested in. I personally think he still can carve out a role in the NBA. He's obviously not going to be the star player that you wanted him to be when you picked him 4th overall. But on a 2-year contract where the first year is partially guaranteed, second year non-guaranteed, why not? He potentially fits the mold of what the Bucks are doing right now. He shot 36% from 3 in his second year, but the other 2 years he hasn't been as good. But if he can find that stroke again, I mean, that's the kind of center the Bucks play with. That's what has revived Brook Lopez's career. Revived is strong, but I mean, he's found a second career as a three-point shooter. So if Dragan Bender can find that shot, it'll be a nice signing for the Bucks. And I was interested in him for the Warriors, honestly, earlier in the offseason. But, you know, the way they filled out the roster and the hard cap, it was going to be hard to add him. And not exactly the type of player they would normally go after, where he probably fits better in Milwaukee. So anyways, that's the former bust news of today. One thing that also came out that, as you all know, I am extremely excited about: no more players-only broadcasts. They shut those down. We're not going to have them again next year. It was, I understand the logic behind it of trying to get the banter of Mark Jackson and Van Gundy kind of deal throughout a game where it feels like you're just watching a game with your buddies, but it never worked. It never worked. They didn't pay enough attention to the game. They didn't have someone to keep them on track. They didn't have a play-by-play guy to keep them on track. So I am glad that it's gone. I think most of you listening are as well. They did say it's gone for this year. So, you know, who knows? Potential to bring it back after another year, but doubtful because it was just a bad bad product. So good riddance, in my opinion. And now to the bigger news. Zion Williamson has signed his shoe deal. The numbers aren't immediately available, but it's believed to be the richest shoe deal ever for a rookie. Still not sure who it's with. A lot of things being kept secretive. But it's interesting to me just because everyone's so high on him. And look, I love him. He's fun to watch, all that good stuff. But, man, I don't know if he's as sure a thing as LeBron, who I believe had the highest rookie shoe deal ever before that, or, you know, Anthony Davis or these other guys. But, again, look, I'm not a scout. What do I know? But good for him. But that's only one of the shoe deals that I mentioned. The one that's actually even more interesting and has more potential to change the landscape of the NBA and NCAA is RJ Hampton, one of the top-ranked recruits for the 2019 class, who has decided to forego college basketball and is playing in the Australia-based National Basketball League. RJ Hampton has signed a 5-year footwear and apparel endorsement deal with Chinese brand Li Ning. Now, before you start asking, you know, what is Li Ning and why does that matter? They are a shoe company, apparel company based in China. And the thing is, this isn't their first endeavor into signing NBA players. They have Dwayne Wade. They had signed Shaq and Baron Davis, as well as CJ McCollum, Evan Turner. A lot of different players have signed with Li Ning. So this isn't their first venture into signing either current NBA players or future NBA players. But the reason why this is so interesting is that RJ Hampton has signed the deal, a 5-year apparel footwear deal with Li Ning that is going to pay him multi-million dollars before he ever steps foot on an NBL court or an NBA court. And the reason why this is so groundbreaking, I mean, first off, congrats to Hampton. That's huge. I love people trying to find different ways around the NCAA and trying to make money off of their game and what they can do. And the reason why this is so big is because this won't be available to every player that goes overseas. I mean, Brian Bowen went overseas and he went undrafted. He's a two-way contract with the Pacers, I believe, right now. But this is just another avenue for players who don't want to go to play in the NCAA, where they can go play overseas and potentially sign shoe deals for a lot of money. We saw Darius Bazley, who was a first-round pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think he went 23rd overall. He signed a internship with New Balance last year for $1 million. So there's now ways and avenues to not go to the NCAA and not be subjected to the hypocrisy of the NCAA. I'm just all for players finding a way around having to go to the mandatory six month training camp with, you know, Coach K or whoever the hell they choose. So I love this story. I think this is groundbreaking for high school players who don't want to go play in college, who want to try and make money off of their unbelievable skills that other people do not have. Again, it's similar to, and I know it's an argument that's made all the time, but, you know, if a physicist, I should have picked a different word. If a scientist coming out of high school is good enough to go get, you know, a $10 million grant to work on something, then he can do it. But a basketball player apparently has to go to college at, you know, Louisville and not be able to make any money for a year. So I love this. I think it's great. Also hearing that if Hampton never plays a game in the NBA because of, let's say, injury, or maybe he just doesn't cut it, he'll still make several million dollars, and it's a nice fallback plan. But he is ranked as one of the top 10 guys in the first 2020 mock draft, which, look, take it for what it is. It's, you know, a year ahead of time. He was going in the top 10. And if he does go in the top 10, he'll have one of the best rookie shoe deals in the NBA. So there's escalators for his deal as well. So if he hits certain criteria like going top 10, that deal's going to get even nicer. So something to look out for, something to keep your eye on. I think it's awesome. Good for him. Good for Li Ning. Good for the NBL. I'm definitely going to be trying to figure out how to get NBL League Pass or something. But I think this is a great development for high school players who don't want to play in the NCAA. I love it. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.